Travel across the country and back in time with me for a minute. Picture with me what was the perfect night of camping on an Adirondack lakeshore. I fell asleep to the water lapping against the rocks and the breeze blowing my hammock ever so slightly. All was so calm and so peaceful. That is, it was the perfect night until I was woken up at 2 a.m. Whatever racket woke me up sounded like a crazed animal losing its voice. After some effort to untangle from my human burrito called hammock camping, I looked out across the lake. There, on an island in the middle of the lake, was a lone goose silhouetted by the moon. This lone goose might have been the most despairing sound in the world, for what woke me up was a cry of longing, a deep cry of pain, a cry of wandering, a cry of waiting and hoping to be reunited with its flock. I think many of us in this room today can relate to that cry of longing. What are you waiting for today? Let's pray. Our ever-present, loving Savior, many of us come to this place today burdened with unanswered questions about the world. May we be an encouragement to one another today. Amen. Like most of us in this room, maybe you are waiting to finally see justice roll down like a river. Maybe you are waiting, heartbroken, hoping that immigrants and refugees will see a fair welcome in the years to come. Maybe you are longing to see individuals who are homeless in your neighborhoods be given a chance. Or maybe your waiting is much more personal. Maybe you are waiting to see a new job come through, finally seeing an opportunity to leave the dead-end job that you hate so much. Maybe you're waiting for that job to finally give you a fair living wage. Maybe you are waiting to see a miracle, because at this point, a miracle is what it will take for that healing you need in your life. Whatever you are waiting for, know you are in good company today. Especially as the church, today we wait. From Christ's resurrection, we know that there is now something new that has been ushered onto this earth. Yet, we wait and we long to see the fullness of Christ's promise, stating that he will make all things new. We live in this tension of the now, but not yet. Something has happened, but there's still more to come. And this tension is nothing new either. In our New Testament passage for this morning, we read about the Thessalonians in their time of waiting. For them, this time was confusing. The Thessalonians lived in an area where daily they faced trouble for being followers of Christ. In the Greco-Roman world, following the state's gods and worshiping at the state-sponsored temple was how you were to be a good citizen. Of course, because they wholeheartedly followed Christ, they had nothing to do with this worship, and they heard about it from everyone. Layered with this persecution, many of them remembered the time when Christ's apostles were with them. They had heard eyewitness accounts of Christ's resurrection. They knew of the promise that Christ would return soon, and when he did return, that Jesus would make everything right in their world. Being fully committed to their faith and ready for this day of rejoicing to come, some of the Thessalonians took this waiting for Christ's return to the next level. Many of them quit their jobs to idly wait for this day, the day of Christ's return, the day in which they had put their hope. But just as the Thessalonians learned, we were not simply to put on this earth to wait. So, what are we to do in this in-between time? How are we to wait? As we grasp for answers to this question, one of the places to which we can look for an answer is the Orthodox Church. For them, Last Friday began a yearly time of intentional waiting. Instead of our 4-week Advent, the Orthodox Church celebrates this season of Advent for 7 weeks. For 7 weeks, they prepare themselves for the celebration of the Nativity of Christ. For these Christians, this is a time of resolute fasting. As these sisters and brothers refrain from eating meat and dairy, they refocus on God and their goal and longing as Christians, regaining communion with God. And isn't this what we long for today too? That the world would be reunited with its Creator, who will finally bring justice and make everything right again. So we wait. We wait for fulfillment of the promises we read about in that Isaiah passage today. We long for the day in which we will be on God's holy mountain, where none can hurt or destroy us. We wait for the peace that is needed for the lion to lay down with the lamb. We long for the unbroken communion with God, a communion in which we are sure of answers and there is no more death or pain separating us from our God. A time when our trust in God will finally be vindicated and this creation of a new heavens and new earth will be in direct contrast with our world today. Our day-to-day lives bring us glimpses of this new world. And especially as Mennonites, in our work for justice, we usher in a part of this new world, one in which everyone is fed and clothed. These glimpses allow us to be unwavering in our faith and our work, even as we continue to wait. But again, I pose the question, in our longing, how are we to wait? As we figure this out together, let's consider 3 things this morning. First, may we wait peacefully. Peace is something that we talk a lot about in the Anabaptist tradition. This symbolism of the wolf and the lamb feeding together gives us hope that this peace will be ushered forth with the promise that we will all be restored. Peace is an indicator of things that are to come, and as we dwell in peace, we remember how a peaceful witness has been used in the past to bring reconciliation between this world's wolves and lambs. In the ordinary places of life, in restaurants, on buses, and on street corners, acts of nonviolent protests begin the civil rights movement. As you well know, this has had ripple effects in changing the tide of our nation. Today, ministers still march for justice in memory of Martin Luther King Jr. And as these leaders wait for change to happen, they take to the streets and the ordinary places of life, reminding the world that we will not sit idly as we wait. The longing for justice will not allow it. Never doubt the outcome of peacefully acting for justice in the ordinary places of this world. Second, we are to wait with patience. Genesis 12 introduces us to Abram, a man who had a promise from God that he would be made into a great nation. Abram didn't know what this would look like. He didn't know what this meant. But as we read in verse 4 of this chapter, Abram went as the Lord told him. Even as Abraham was unsure of how these promises would come to fruition, even in asking God later in Genesis 15, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Even in asking this question, Abram still followed, knowing God would fulfill God's promise. It was about 25 years later before Abram saw the beginning of this promise from God being fulfilled in having a son of his own. Soon he was renamed Abraham, meaning the father of many, and even then, he only saw the beginnings of this promise that was to come. Abram only lived for about another 75 years after having his son Isaac. And in the way the Genesis narrative is written, it seems as though Abram died shortly after Isaac was married. Thus, we can think that Abram might have never seen his descendants, which were promised to be as numerous as the stars. Over these 75 years, he saw his possessions and his family grow. But as I read this story today and put myself in Abraham's shoes, I also imagine the things that might have been going through his mind. Things like, how is this going to work, God? My family has grown so slowly. Is this really going to happen? What will become of my blind faith? Abraham would never have imagined where his willingness to follow God and his patience in waiting on God's promises could have led. Today, even in our uncertainties, our doubts, and our wanderings about what the future may hold, we wait with patience for the greater things yet to come. Lastly, we are to wait with courage. Courage is what it took for Greta Thunberg to begin the strike for climate. And as we know, she was alone in fighting for the reconciliation with our world when she first began. But she wouldn't let that stop her. With Greta, we wait for a change to come to our world. Though again, that doesn't mean we wait idly. No, we wait courageously, saying the things that need to be said, fighting for the things of God to be present in our world, longing that one day we will be able to stop fighting because everything will be restored and made new. So, until the day when we see Christ, as we walk through this upcoming season of Advent, we worship God at the temple alongside Anna the prophetess, who knew of the promise that she would soon see Christ. Even in her old age and her realized need for patient waiting, she didn't quit speaking the things of God. She knew that God would fulfill God's promise. We speak the truths of God alongside John the Baptist. We share in John's courage to speak of the things coming, indeed, things happening already that one could only have imagined. We joyously await the day when lions will lay down with the lamb. We become the hands and feet of the river of justice. As followers of Christ, this is our job, that we are not to quit as we wait. Amen.
As our hymn of response, please take your blue worship book again and turn to number 553. I am weak and I need thy strength and power. Number 553.
Trip.